You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Saturday's Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. Sam Norris here, joined by Paddy Aspel, to take a look at four races on Saturday. And remember to tune in to Racing Radio from 1:20pm on Saturday afternoon, where you'll hear every race live and in full with Ollie Pimlott, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman in the studio. We've got Doncaster, Newbury and Kelso over the obstacles. There's flat racing at Lingfield, and into the evening we've also got flat card over at Newcastle. There's Irish racing from Navan as well. And of course, we've got the Maidan Carnival card as well on Racing Radio on Saturday. But first things first, it's a warm welcome to the podcast to Mr. Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm good, Sam. How are you?
Good. Yeah, not too bad at all. Very busy, looking forward to the festival, obviously, in a few weeks' time, as I'm sure you are, Paddy.
Yeah, certainly. It's coming up on us pretty quickly now, isn't it? And we were just reading in the paper there might be some dodgy forecasts about, but we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully we just got fair ground and we don't have any extremes one way or the other, but no, certainly looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. While we're on Cheltenham, there's been a bit of a move in the Champion Hurdle betting as such, but the new one has been it's been talked up for another tilt. His fourth attempt in the Champion Hurdle, it will be. Never finished better than third when he was beaten by Jezky 3 years ago. Nigel Twiston Davis always seems to have lots of good things to say about the horse, Paddy. Can you see him running a big one?
I could. Nigel Twiston Davis has always gone to great lengths to defend this horse, and you know he's not a man who crows that loudly about his horses, and but he's always defended this horse pretty vigorously, and I think you know he's been a real good stable stalwart down the years, and I would have to say his performances this year have been more sort of, what would you say, maybe in line of a Champion Hurdle contender. Certainly the way now it has been slightly diluted. You know, you would have to give him a chance, but it's not going to be a vintage Champion Hurdle. So it's there for the taking. And I think Connections are absolutely spot on to do what they're doing, because, you know, it's like I've said, it's not going to be as strong a race as what we're used to. And no, so I think they're well entitled, and he's earned his place there, Sammy, you know?
Yeah, definitely. A 14-1 chance for the Champion Hurdle. You mentioned there, obviously, it's not going to be a vintage renewal. The likes of Forheen and Annie Power, the two previous winners of the race, aren't involved. Would you go as far as to say it's going to be a weak Champion Hurdle?
No, I wouldn't say a weak, because, I'll put it to you this way, Sam. You try, even your everyday racing through the week, you know, if I have a chance on a horse, you go there and try and win it. You know. So when you're talking about trying to win a Champion Hurdle, it just won't be a vintage, and probably not one of the ones that's going to be remembered as some of the others down the years. But no, you don't get weak Champion. You don't get weak races, full stop, to be honest, because if they're weak races, it means they're full of weak horses, which means they're all going to struggle to win it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So a vintage Champion Hurdle, it isn't going to be.
Yes.
But still, I think it's going to be far more open, if you get what I mean.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, of course.
Not at all, no.
I mean, if you did have a Forheen or Annie Power in there, they'd probably be odds on, and it wouldn't have the competitive look that it does.
Of course, yeah. And then obviously it's pressure on them horses to produce. And even if they do produce and they're not that impressive, there'll always be people who will knock them.
Yes.
You know, think, oh, well, he was such and such a price. How come he only won 3/4 of a length? Whereas this time it's, there's an awful lot more options out there for people as regards their fancies.
Yeah, definitely. Bouvardair currently the 11-4 favourite for the Champion Hurdle. Yanworth 100-30. Petit Mouchoir is 4-1. Limini 6s, although it does need to be supplemented. Brainpower 13-2, 7-1, and bigger prices for the rest. Away from the jumps game, Paddy, then we must mention Soul Power, who has been retired over the last couple of days. A phenomenal performer for Eddie Lynham. 65 starts, 50 of those came in group company, a five-time Group 1 winner, has raced in five different countries. a real animal of incredible constitution, especially for a flat horse as well, to be to keep going at that level on the flat. There aren't too many horses around that can do that year on year.
Certainly, it goes without saying. I mean, Eddie Lynham has been quoted several times in saying that nobody had heard of Eddie Lynham up until Soul Power appeared on the scene. And,
yeah.
You know, and similar quote, as I said about Nigel Twiston Davis, that Eddie Lynham is a quietly spoken man who doesn't bark about his horses, but he's always made no secret that this horse was the apple of his eye, and you know, he always did talk him up, and to be fair, he backed it up. And I mean, obviously him and Hughesy on their day were poetry in motion, and the way he just used to be held up and just come through the field so easily, you know. But the last year or so, he's not been able to reach the heights, and he struggled, hasn't he? I think his last win was at the Curra maybe last year sometime. Mm-hmm. But look, he's been a great horse down the years, and generally he always turned up, and he gave Manny a race score, you know, some lifelong memories, and he'll be sadly missed, because you know he was a very popular horse, and he was certainly one of the much better ones that'll be remembered.
Yeah, delighted to see him retire in one piece, and we wish him a very happy and healthy retirement, that is for sure. Anything else to throw in the mix, Paddy? Anything on your mind before we move on to Saturday's racing?
We were looking at Newbury there today. They've had an awful lot of rain at Newbury. Mm. And also Doncaster. Doncaster looks very wet. I don't think they had some early morning rain at Newbury, but I think they had about 7 mil. So it's going to make a difference, you know, for that racing there tomorrow. And obviously we've got the big chase up at Donny as well. But Donny looks very wet,
yes,
and loose, so horses are going through it. But it will be interesting to see if we have a dry or even a windy night. You know, it could just be, you know, slightly on the holding side tomorrow up there. So we'll just have to keep an eye on the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. Doncaster and Newbury then, two of the feature meetings to come on Saturday. And we'll get Paddy's thoughts on Saturday's racing on the back of this.
The Yorkshire Racing Club Cheltenham Preview Night is on Tuesday, March the 7th at the Pudsey Liberal Club, starting at 7:45. The panel includes a man with 1,000 National Hunt winners under his belt, jockey Andrew Thornton, William Hill TV's Andy Holding, and pundit and pro gambler Andy Gibson as well, all hosted by Bill Warby. It should be a cracking night. For more details on the night, go to yorkshireracingclub.co.uk. There'll be William Hill free bets handed out on the night as well. So, Tuesday, March the 7th, 7:45 p.m, the Cheltenham Preview Night from the Yorkshire Racing Club at Pudsey Liberal Club.
Degree, inexperienced, no object, a novice, the first for 40 years, won the Gold Cup. Cody Gree beat Jack Adam. Third place for Road to Riches, Holywell on his own, many crowds.
Let's turn our attention towards some of Saturday's racing now. Then we begin at Newbury. We'll take in a couple of races there, starting with the 2:40, which is the William Hill High Five supporting Greatwood Handicap Hurdle. 2 miles is the trip for the runners who will go down to post for this one. It's a Class 3 race. Plenty of prize money on offer to the winner as well. What did you make of this year's renewal, Paddy?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Sammy. Probably of years past, it is a fair bit less competitive than what it normally is, even runners-wise.
Yes.
Numbers-wise, we've only got 12 runners. I know we had a fairly small field as well last year, but you know, there's some horses coming in here that really, at the minute, aren't at the top of their game. So for me, I was keen on the Ian Williams horse, London Prize. I mean, it was yet to be asked a question the last day when he did fall. And previous to that, I mean, his last 5-6 outings, he's been in the money, and he's been very, very consistent, this Teofilio Geldin for connections. And Tom O'Brien won this race last year. He gets on real well with him, and he's a very good strike rate for Ian Williams, to be honest. But his mark has crept up to 1.28, but deservedly so, because like I say, he's been a model of consistency, and he's got 11 stone 2 to carry. He is a course and distance winner, and as I just said, I mean, although we've got a nice prize on offer, this race, you know, because the Greatwood Hurdle is regarded as one of, you know, the competitive handicap hurdles leading up to the festival. And this one probably just lacks that, unfortunately, tomorrow. But that said, it's still a horse race. Something's going to win it. And for me, I just thought London Prize was still on the improve.
Okay, London Prize then for Ian Williams and Tom O'Brien. Has had a spin on the flat leading up to this race as well. Finished second on the Tapita at Newcastle. Is that to get the confidence back after the fall at Musselburgh, Paddy? Is there something in that?
And obviously maybe the Musselburgh run was first week in Feb, and so maybe there was just nothing for him or nothing suitable. And obviously it's literally like a good bit of work, isn't it?
Yes.
Having a spin on the all-weather. And you know, the thing is, he's not a bad flat horse. And,
he's picked up nearly $5,000 for second place in that race as
well. Yeah, ran very, very well and bumped into a very good inmate from the Godolphin outfit in Natural Scenery.
Yeah, absolutely. London Prize then is the pick for Paddy in the Greatwood Hurdle then, which is off at 2:40 at Newbury. We stay at Newbury then for their 3:15, which is the William Hill High Five supporting Greatwood Gold Cup Handicap Chase. It's a Grade 3 event over just shy of 2.5 miles, nearly 30k on offer to the winner. And we do have some progressive animals in here, Paddy.
Yeah, that's one word that I would associate with this race. I mean, Tornado Milan, he's 11 years old, but that said, he's holding his form very, very well, this horse. He's battled hard and he's got a lovely racing weight there tomorrow of 10-10. So he's one of the older ones here that I would give a real chance to. I mean, Shadows Lengthen and Thomas Crapper down the bottom are 11 and 10 respectively. But there's no doubt the one I did like was a six-year-old from the Dan Skelton Yard, Old Grangewood. Mm. I mean, I think he's going to go off roundabout favourite. But the one thing I have noticed about the Skelton Yard, Sam, is they do tend, obviously for the better ones at least, they have a plan for them all as to where they're going to go.
Yes.
And I noticed that in particular last year with both Cheltenham, Aintree and even Punchestown. You know, they had plans for each horses and, you know, they raced them sparingly and just fantastic. And even the Scottish Grand National meeting, you know, each horse, obviously, like I said, the better ones that are capable of running in the better races, they did have a plan mapped out. And this, to me, looks like another plan with Old Grangewood. I mean, he certainly looks to be improver. He's up to a mark of 1.43. I mean, the handicapper was suitably impressed with that performance the last day at Wetherby. He was two back-to-back wins at Wetherby, and he shoved them up £9, but I mean, look, I wouldn't give out about that because I think he was fully entitled to do it probably because of the rate this horse is improving at. And I think £9 is probably about fair because he's both a dual hurdle and point winner. And every time he has actually stood up over fences, his completed starts, he's unbeaten. Mm. So he comes into this race with a fair record. I mean, it is a Grade 3, but it's a lovely pot. And he's relatively low mileage. And I like the look of his profile, and I think that Dan Skelton has done a great job of training this horse, and both him and Harry are having another fantastic season, and I think they've planned out another little coup here, if you ask me.
Old Grangewood then for Paddy. For the Skeltons to continue on the upward curve that he finds himself on, has won three of his four races over fences and was brought down on the other occasion. So maybe a little bit unlucky not to be unbeaten over the larger obstacles. We go over to Kelso now though for the 3:25. This is their feature race of the day. Novices hurdle coming up here. This is a Grade 2 over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. Again, just over $20,000 to the winner. It's only attracted five of them, Paddy. What did you make of the quintet?
I thought the horse down at the bottom was a standout, to be honest, Sammy, because at the weights, I mean, Capitaine is rated 1.42 and he carries 11 stone 8. And the horse at the bottom, Mount News, is 1.33, carries 11 stone 5. So, I mean, at the weights, he's not that well in. But I think the handicapper for me has, I won't say undervalued this horse, because, I mean, what he's shown, he's got plenty of experience now, and he's got course and distance experience. Captain brings plenty of form to the table as well, but I just think Mount Muse, although he's a year older than Captain, he's a typical Malcolm Jefferson inmate. He's lower mileage. He's been brought along very steadily, but he looks a real proper bit of kit, this horse. And Malcolm, having another fantastic season, I'd say he rates this chap up there, probably one of his best he's got in the yard at the minute. He's a dual bumper winner. He's actually 2 from 2 at Kelso. So like I say, he goes well on the track, knows the place well. He's got the top Northern jockey in Brian Hughes on his back. He is only 6, and although it's a Grade 2 event, he's up in class. I think he's well worthy of the step up in grade, and lovely prize on offer at 21.5 grand.
Mm. Matt Muse then gets the nod for Malcolm Jefferson and Brian Hughes in the feature race at Kelso, which is the 3:25, that Grade 2 novices hurdle. The final race on the podcast then comes from Doncaster, the 3:35. It's their feature race of the day, the Grimthorpe Handicap Chase. 3 miles, 2 furlongs is the trip for this Class 2 Handicap Chase. Almost 35 grand on offer to the winner here. And we've got quite a few who may well have one eye on the Grand National in a month or so's time.
Of course, yeah. But still, we haven't got stacks of runners on offer. Mm. But horses like The Last Samurai, I mean, he's fantastic to watch. I mean, I don't think there are many more genuine horses in training than The Last Samurai. All he wants to do is run and jump. He's a fantastic horse, and to be honest, he was probably his own undoing in the National because he raced a bit enthusiastically, yes, and in the end maybe just ran out of a bit of steam. I don't know, but it probably looked that way, but through no fault of his own, he just loves his job and loves what he does, and won this race last year. I mean, he carried 11.6 last year. He's 11.12 tomorrow, and he's going to be given upwards of £11 to the field, which... it will take a bit of doing, but like I've said, there probably isn't a more genuine horse in training. So if you want a horse to give weight away, he's the sort of chap that can do it. I mean, obviously, you could be very tempted by looking well down at the bottom because with Ryan Day's 5 off, I mean, this horse has got to carry 9 stone 11. So he's actually going to be getting 2 stone from The Last Samurai, but... looking well, it's a typical Nicky Richards inmate, low mileage, and hasn't done anything wrong at all. Probably wouldn't have the experience of some of these, but, you know, Last Samurai, he's a very, very battle-hardened horse. And there's going to be a bit of pace on here, so it's going to be a true-run event. So the thing is, Dave Bass might just be able to get a lovely tour around and not do the donkey work with having such a welterweight on his back. But, I mean, obviously, it's a step towards the Grand. What sort of weight has he got in the National, Sammy?
Yeah, probably higher now than it was originally, given those Giggenstein horses have come out. So I think he'll be towards the top of the weights now. I think Carlingford Luck is top weight, right, but after the 3 Giggenstein runners have been withdrawn, I think he'll be carrying a fair bit.
But I mean, like I said, this is obviously a stepping stone towards that big day. But look, it's going to be no gimme because we've got some decent horses in there, the Brian Ellison horse as well, and like I say, the Nicky horse getting so much weight down the bottom, but I'm a big fan of this horse, and I just think he's all heart, he's all good. Dave Bass knows him very, very well now, and I think he'll take a fair bit of stopping here, and I'd love to see him get back-to-back victories in the Grimthorpe.
He was carrying 11 stone 5 for the National, but 3 horses ahead of him in the weights have all been pulled out. So Outlander, Empire of Dirt and Don Poli have all come out. So I think The Last Samurai, we're looking at him being possibly second top weight in the National.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Carlingford Luck.
Yeah.
But The Last Samurai, the pick for you, Paddy?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, look, like I say, he's so battled hardened. He's shown a liking for the place down there. And I just think with the bit of pace that is going to be, although we've only got a small field, the bit of pace that's going to be in the race, there might be some pressure off Dave Bass that he could just sit in and ride a little bit of a race and get a tour around, just considering he is given a nice lump of weight away to his rivals.
Okay, The Last Samurai then to win back-to-back Grimthorpe chases at Doncaster. There we are, the thoughts of Paddy Aspel ahead of Saturday's racing. Just give us a quick recap, if you would please, Paddy, of your 4 selections on Saturday.
Yeah, in the Great Wood Hurdle, I had London Prize. That was a 2:40 Newbury for Ian Williams. I just thought this race lacked a little bit of his usual competitiveness, but London Prize certainly looks like a horse that's still on the improve. My next selection was Old Grange Wood at Newbury in the 3:15. I think Handicapper has whacked him up to 1.43 on the back of that last win at Wetherby, but I think it's well deserved. But he's a horse on the improve, and barring a fall, he would be still unbeaten over fences. So that was my selection there, Old Grange Wood. In the 3:25 at Kelso, I went for the horse down at the bottom, Mount Muse and Malcolm Jefferson's. I do think the Handicapper off a mark of 1.33 is undervalued, this horse, and although this isn't a handicap, I do think the prices might reflect the ratings might reflect the prices in this race. But I think he's a very, very good horse. He's 2 from 2 at Kelso, and I think he's got a cracking chance of landing this Grade 2 event. And then my final selection was the 3:35 at Doncaster in the Grimthorpe Chase, and I was going to go for the Kim Bailey inmate, The Last Samurai, to go back to back in this Grimthorpe Chase. Last year's winner off 11 stone 6. And obviously he's got 11 stone 12 to carry tomorrow. But off a mark of 1.61, this is obviously a stepping stone towards the Grand National. But he's obviously a course and distance winner. This is part of his national prep. And although given £11 upwards to his rivals. I think for me, he's capable of doing it.
Excellent stuff. There we are then. Paddy Aspel's thoughts on Saturday's racing. And do tune into Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Ollie Pimlott, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and James Millman guiding you through all of the racing. Thank you very much for that, Paddy. Always a pleasure. Enjoy the action on Saturday.
No problem. Thanks, sir.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.